Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of your favorite YouTube channel podcast. Keep the same energy with your host, Justin P., and my co-host, the villain, the vigilante, Mr. Mari Savage Jr. It's episode 227 for the YouTube channel and for the audio version, season 5, episode 51. Y'all go check that out in the descriptions below. Also, along with myself and Maurice's social media platforms where you can follow us at. Make sure y'all like and subscribe, you know, let's just say share the content. You know, without further ado, here's the man, the myth, the legend, my co-host, your co-host, the villain or the vigilante, Mr. Maurice Harris Jr. Yay, yay!
What's good, people? What's good, people? As always, man, it feels good to be back doing it with Big Bro, as we always do. You already know we got a great and entertaining show, as we always do. Good conversation about sports. Of course, give you some opinionated shit, but at the end of the day, you know what I got to hit you with. Of course, we're going to hit you with some opinions because when it comes to this, man, we're thinking from here. We're coming from here, and what we're saying makes sense. But of course, we're going to hit you with some emotions because, I mean, shit, I'm emotional when it comes down to sports. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter unless we hit you with the facts.
And that's a fact, Jack. We got some good topics right here. I'm going to go ahead and start them up right now. First topic of the night. You know, we all behind because we, you know, doing other things. Let's talk about the Ravens signing Derrick Henry. Go ahead, co-host, the floor is yours.
Well, only thing I would say is if the Ravens had a legit wide receiver, not matter of fact, let me say it the correct way. If the Ravens had another legit wide receiver, I could see the Ravens going all the way to the Super Bowl. I mean, you got to think about it now. The Ravens had the top running game with Lamar Jackson and whoever at running back. There's another thing I wanted to add. I was just having this conversation with my homeboys about this same exact topic where I was saying to him, like, yo, the Ravens always had a running game. Think about it. Except for those years where we had somebody that was subpar, the Ravens still always had a running game. For the most part, a Ravens starting running back at least had almost 700 to 800 yards. And of course, you feel me? You want your running back to have 1,000 yards. But I'm talking about, you go look, that starting running back may had 700 to 800 yards, but the whole entire team went over the 1,000-yard mark, things like that. So the Ravens always had a running game. I looked at that all the way back to that Priest home days and things like that. You already know Justin Forsett, guys of that nature. Who was another guy? Alex Collins, another guy who he didn't go over 1,000, but he had like 960-something. So the Ravens always had a rushing attack and shit like that. And now – And when I was bringing that up because they had a rushing attack with anybody at running back. Who would have thought Justin Forsett would be a 1,000-yard Pro Bowl running back? Who would have thought at one time Terrence West looked like he could have made it in Baltimore? You feel me? The little spurts that he was giving us. You see what happened when we brought Mark Ingram over here, and you already see. I want to make sure I'm saying this, dude. Keaton Mitchell. You already see what he's getting ready become right now. So adding Derrick Henry. If the Ravens had another Zay Flowers, or let's just say, I mean, there's talk that T. Higgins doesn't want to be with the Bengals no more. Let's just say if the Ravens were to get him, I could honestly say the Ravens could be going to the Super Bowl. You have two legit wide receivers who you have to defend, and they are a threat all over the field. They can run all the routes. They can catch everything damn near thrown to them. And we're watching Zay Flowers become the man. T. Higgins wants to be the number one man, and he got a chance to go ahead and do that because Zay Flowers is still growing. Then you got those two tight ends and things of that nature, and then you adding Derrick Henry to the – and now Derrick Henry is a legitimate threat. You have to come up there and stop him. You can't just let him do what he want to do. I feel as though this is going to open up more for Lamar Jackson to be able to pass the ball. And then, I mean – with their RPOs, I think that's going to work even better. They probably had their best success rate with the RPO. It could be one of those situations where they get less yards but be more successful and use it more in successful strategic type ways and shit. So I feel like if the Ravens get one more wide receiver, this could be a Super Bowl team. And, I mean, they still could go to the Super Bowl with Derrick Henry, I mean, and not have any wide receivers. They did it before with Jamal Lewis. Go ahead. My bad. So I'm going to hand it over to you.
Yeah, I mean, you realize – that no game has been played yet. So the wide receiver part, we still can get, you still got the draft. Mm-hmm. You still got free agency like we always do, get those veterans that get cut. But it's a good move, great move, because like I said, Gus was gone, and I failed him because he didn't get the cards in the AFC Championship game, which is all on Todd Monken and Harbaugh fault. because the head coach, he allowed it. But like I said, yes, we always had some good backs, but we have the back now, the guy that's going to command respect from everybody. We didn't have that type of rushing attack since we had Mark Ingram here. So, yeah, like I said, now you put 9-10 guys in the box. Now you're going to get some one-on-ones outside with Zay and Bateman and all them guys. And then, like I said, we're going to draft a receiver. We're going to still, you know, get guys June 1st. Like, you're not done putting your roster together until the very first game. So that's why I tell people, calm down, just because they don't see us spending all this money in free agency. For one, we don't got it. And two, that's just never been the Raven way. So, you know, relax, relax. But that's a great signing because, like I said, him and Lamar back there, and then when Keaton Mitchell get healthy, yeah, it's going to be a trouble that's going to help out everything in the passing game right now. Next one, Steelers sign Patrick Queen. That's good. It's a tough one. What was yours, Coles?
For me, it's a lot of things I want to go into, and maybe you can help me, even though you can get a chance to, of course, answer later as well. But the first thing I want to know is, was this the only team that wanted you? Was this team paying you to be the highest paid linebacker or one of the highest paid linebackers? It makes me want to know, like, when did this even occur or even cross your mind? It made me think, were you friends with the Steelers? I'm not going to say no crazy shit and make it seem like you sabotaged the game, because I'm pretty sure when you were Raven, you were backing the Ravens up, doing what you got to do, bleeding purple and all that. But it made me want to think, how was those conversations after the game was over? You know, when everybody went to exchange jerseys and things of that nature, because it doesn't look like you're getting paid going on to one of the to the defense or the team that's a player away from the Super Bowl. You're not about to be the highest paid or anything like that. So it makes me want to know what's really the agenda here. And maybe the agenda could be, I want to stick it to the Ravens who didn't want to pay me. You feel me? I was here first. I got better every year. And I was supposed to be the guy who was supposed to be right after C.J. Mosley. And you didn't give me that full chance and opportunity. You fell in love with Roquan, and I feel like he stepped up just as much as Roquan did last year. For real, for real. They looked like they was the best tandem in the league. It don't matter who I would take. But all I can say, it was a good move for the Steelers. I expect their defense to be even better. I'm going to hand it over to you.
He did it out of spite, because it was reported to me that a lot more teams had offered him more money. Dallas,
wow.
Dolphins, the Vikings, and Seattle. So I guess his feelings was hurt because we were moving on from him. And we paid Manabike, not him. And, you know, we drafted his replacement last year already. So, you know, it is what it is. He said he wanted to take on the villain role. So Pat Ricard said it. He said, I don't know what I'm more excited about. This upcoming season, blocking for Patrick Queen. I'm sorry, blocking for Derrick Henry or knocking Patrick Queen on his ass. So, you know, power to him. But, you know, he got attacked with a cane twice a year. So, yeah, fuck him.
Excuse me.
All right, 1 second. All right, we're going to talk next topic. Trying to roll through this a little bit. All right. Chiefs sign Marquise Hollywood Brown. The floor is yours, Marge.
Well, first of all, I'm going to say this, man. You speedsters that's coming to the Chiefs, get your job right and get your job. Do it right and keep your job. It go to show you how much Tyreek Hill is somewhat not an all-that receiver. This Tyreek Hill is one of the guys who he definitely is a top wide receiver because of his numbers and stats and this, that, and third. But in my book, I don't like that guy. He's not all that to me. He's just a speedster. He doesn't give me – to me, Tyreek Hill, if he was a basketball player, he would be Vince Carter. He can give you a lot of wild plays and this, that, and the third. But he's not someone I can really count on, rely on, and this, that, and the third. I mean, the reason why I'm saying that, I mean, did you see the game? Did you see the game against the Chiefs? He was mostly man-to-man coverage with Snead. That way, it wasn't no safety over the top help all the time. You feel me? He was pretty much handling his business out there, and they got mollywopped. He got handled and destroyed. It was a few games I seen Tyreek Hill get mollywopped and destroyed. And if you go look at his numbers, it'll be games where he get you feel me, locked up and don't step up, and then he'll give you like two or three games in a row where he got like 170 yards, 180 yards, and of course that's killing. I'd be a fool to not say that. That's killing, that's balling the fuck out. But I mean, he do be having those little things. But the reason why I'm bringing that up is, as far as the type of wide receiver he is, since he's been gone, they have won Super Bowls with three different speedsters that got his position. Valdez Scantling. That was the Tyreek Hill replacement. Not Tyreek Hill replacement for as being the same wide receiver, but that speed dynamic, going deep, taking the top off. You did it with Hartman. You feel me? And then right now, you're doing it with Hollywood Brown. And here's the big difference. Just so happened, Hollywood Brown can do some of the things, similar things, not the exact things, but similar things to Tyreek Hill far as being explosive, beating you deep, end around screens and shit like that. And he's younger. And that, I mean, there's a chance that he could be one of those guys that be on the Chiefs probably forever right now because he's young and he can just learn the system and wind up being one of them later on being like a Hines Ward type guy where he always reliable for Patrick Mahomes. So I think it's a good move, you feel me? And they just went to the Super Bowl with Hartman being in speedster. So who knows?
I'm gonna start this since you started off with this, because I wasn't even gonna go ahead. Bro, you are tied to your opinion. I'm not trying to sway your opinion, but that you can't say Tyreek Hill was just a speedster, because the band run every route under the route tree. Yes, the Chiefs are still winning. You know why they're still winning? Because they got 1587 and Andy Reid. But those guys did not replace Tyreek Hill. Just Mahomes is making it happen. They would go, you know how many times they looked horrible out there because they didn't have nobody to throw to besides Kelsey. Tyreek Hill almost had 2,000 yards if he didn't get hurt. I'm going to leave it at that. Marquise Brown, good signing, good signing. I was hoping we'd probably get him back. They signed him for 1 year, $7 million, especially with everything going on with Rashee Rice now. It was a great pickup, and they're probably going to still draft a receiver. But, yeah, Hollywood gives them that deep threat they did miss once Tyreek gone. But Tyreek Hill is definitely the man, bro, so I'm going to leave it at that. Well, next topic, the Ravens traded Logan Moses to the Jets for a fourth-round pick, and they swapped six-round picks and moves 20 spots down. Give me your thoughts.
I'm just going to be short on this one. I feel like the Jets needed this. I mean, your season was done because your quarterback wasn't protected. And even with Zach Wilson and other quarterbacks that stepped in, it was like if your quarterback didn't have time, there was no way you could give it to the other playmaker. So I like the moves. And the one thing about the Ravens, as they do with a lot of their positions, especially with the running back, they can always find another offensive lineman. And they always do a good job of that. Even when they had their struggle moments, they at least have somebody in that know the Ravens way. You feel me? They at least get on the roster. So that's all I got to say.
Oh, yeah. He only had one more year in his deal anyway. So, not a big move. We're younger. We're trying to get more younger and more athletic, which we did. Traded him. We got an extra four for move down 20 spots. So, he wanted to go back to the Jets. That's fine. We got some guys in house that's gonna get some opportunities. Daniel Fahalehe, he looked good last year when given a chance. Andrew Voorhees coming back from injury, the guard out of UCLA. I mean, not UCLA, USC. Just imagine he don't get hurt, he's probably a first or second round pick. Still got Patrick McCarthy in house that can play tackle, guard all over the line. Malasala Lalu, he can play tackle and guard. So, yeah, we got some Ben Cleveland's there. So, we're going to be good on the office line. Then we made a signing that I'm going to talk about, on a couple more topics. And we still got the draft, so we'll be A-okay. All right. Falcons trade Desmond Ridder to the Cardinals for Rondale Moore. Give me your thoughts.
That's a good backup to have because of the Kyler Murray situation. And one thing that I did see Arizona do is that when they lose Kyler Murray, they still can have decent quarterback play. We've seen it with the dude Dotson and shit like that. So I believe this is a good move. This is one of those situations where they feel like we have a better offense. We have a better team than the Falcons. And Desmond Ridder shows signs of he could be decent in the league. So he's just being a backup. He's not coming to take nobody's job or nothing like that. So he's coming to be a backup. And then just in case something happened, I mean, it looks like a lot of right now, which you should be looking for, a lot of teams is looking for that Jeff Garcia that was on the Eagles when Donovan McNabb got hurt. And Jeff Garcia led those guys to the playoffs and shit like that and played well until Donovan got back. So I believe this is one of those type of moves, you feel me, where it could happen. And I'm definitely waiting to see. I mean, my Giants, for God's sakes, has a Super Bowl with the backup quarterback. You feel me? Finished out the season and shit like that. So I'm hoping that the same that can happen here, that the Cardinals can bring some the Cardinals can have some success, because maybe it's gonna be success with if they get Marvin Harrison Jr. You feel me? But now to the Rondale Moore. I mean, I like it. The Falcons is definitely about to be more dangerous and explosive. This is what they did to always have a name for themselves. All the way back down to the Chris Chandler days, they was always explosive. Running back, wide receiver. Then it came down to running back, wide receiver, tight end, during the Algie Crumpler days, Rodney White, and who else? My man, Work Done. So now I think you got that. You got a lot of speed out there. Kyle Pitts, of course, Drake London. You already know Kirk Cousins. He's going to throw that rock. So good running game. And then you got him. Rondale Moore is definitely versatile. Talking about a guy that can run the ball and catch the ball. So I like it. I don't think this is going to push the Falcons anywhere where to be a Super Bowl contender, but it will definitely be exciting for Falcon fans. I'm going to hand it over to you.
Yeah. The Cardinals definitely made sure they got an insurance policy in case Kyler gets hurt again. You know, he's been a little fragile lately. So yeah, Ritter, he didn't do too bad, but like the Falcons, like, we're trying to compete in a winnable division because the Bucs won it at 9-7. And then the year before that, I think like 8-9 or some shit. So they get, they get Kirk Cousins, which we already talked about. And down they get Rondale Moore, another weapon in the team, with Drake London, who else? They got Scotty Miller.
Mm-hmm.
They got Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, and Tyler Algier. So yeah, it definitely helps the Falcons out a lot. The Falcons won this trade because Ritter was just going to be the backup. Now you add an explosive weapon there, and they might still draft a receiver probably in the second round. So yeah, it was a good trade for both parties, but the Falcons definitely got the better end of, because Rondale Moore is going to make an impact right away, whereas Ritter just got to sit there and wait for his chance. That's when I put it together a little bit. The Rams rebuilt that secondary. They signed safety Cam Curl, Tre'Davious White, and cornerback Darius Williams. Give me your thoughts.
Well, first of all, shout out to for them signing Darius Williams back. I expect him to, and he was a little bit younger than Ramsey. So about 5 or 6 years. So I'm glad to see him come back.
No, he actually older. Ramsey ain't he 30 yet? He 30, but
hold on. Darius is how old?
He's 31. Ramsey like 27, 28.
Oh, he 30. Oh, all right. So hold on, he was. This is the same Darius I'm talking about. I think I liked him because I think I don't think he was drafted or something like that. That's what I think it was. But he was one of those guys that was a bum and didn't work his way all the way up to the top. Okay, all right. Then I take that back. That's exactly what he was. He was a guy that was trash, worked his way up to the top. Had a great season. You feel me? I think like 2 seasons in a row, he played good. He led the team in interceptions his last year in the Rams, wanted some money. So then he left and went to, Oakland?
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. That didn't plan out. Because he was actually supposed to have been kind of replacement Ramsey, supposed to be something like the AJ Boyd, and it didn't cut it. They nowhere near was the same secondary that was. That was a huge secondary back in the day. But I believe he came back here, coming back to a system that he knows. He'll definitely be the lead guy. And they got some hitters that just came over there. I definitely like the Cam Curl, because I stuck too much on the corner. Cam Curl. I think he's a vicious guy, great hitter, great tackler, 74 tackles last year. You feel me? One forced fumble, one sack, one interception. So, I mean, I think this is going to be a revamp, hard-hitting defense for real. I mean, you got to do that, but I want to see how the – matter of fact, I think the Rams do have a D tackle that was killing this year as well, too. So, I'm just looking more into the Rams, you feel me, for right now. But overall, this is a good pick. I love any time you can build your secondary.
Yeah, man, they needed it because they said it was just COVID Durant and those guys, Tre'Davious Holly, Thomas. Now you bring over Archie Davis White, Cam Carroll, Darius Williams, who's already been there. See, like I said, yeah, they probably could still use some edge help, but I do like the kid they drafted last year. What the fuck is his name, man? The kid, Byron Allen, whatever the hell his name is.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Allen, yeah. So he got him, he got a couple, so they just add some beef there on the outside linebacker and sign another middle linebacker, some guys out there. But like I said, it's definitely going to help them out because you got Debo Samuel, Kittle, DK Metcalf, and all those guys in your division. So it was smart. And you probably going to have to see Marvin Harrison Jr. most likely since Hollywood is gone. So yeah, it was definitely smart to revamp that secondary by the Rams. All right, now our next topic, one of the best we have seen in our lifetime and probably of all time, announced his retirement. Aaron Donald is now retired officially. Think much retirement after that Super Bowl, but he's officially retired after 10 seasons. Man, so give me your thoughts. Where do you think he ranks all the time amongst defensive tackles and defensive players?
All right, defensive players of all time. I got him at second. I'm sorry. I don't care what nobody say. I never pick anybody over LT. The fact that he was doing the same exact thing, I think a lot of people do be getting caught up in recency bias. You'll see a guy dunk over two people at the same time, and then the whole time somebody did it the same way in the 70s and the 80s in the same time. But because you just recently seen it, it's the best thing, and he's the only one. So for a guy like Lawrence Taylor to win defensive MVP basically three times, two times in a row, to do it as a rookie, be the only defensive player to win MVP of the league. There has never been done again, ever, not even close. To win games, we talk about win games, and we talking about games where the score is 3-0. His sack was the score, that the reason why it's 7-3. His forced fumble is the reason why they scored 8. Like, they got a whole clip of how good Lawrence Taylor was as far as just showing this. Him being the reason why they won the game, going to plays where the offense is struggling at all, and he making plays in the game, getting them in field goal range, getting them in scoring range, and shit like that. So I definitely got Lawrence Taylor at number one, and then number two, I want to go with Aaron Donald because I think Aaron Donald and J.J. Watt and Lawrence Taylor only guys who win defensive MVP three times. You feel me? And to be able to get 10 sacks consistently, I think he probably didn't do it maybe once or maybe twice, but to go consistently having 10 sacks every year at the D-tackle position, you by far the best D-tackle of all time. And, I mean, to me, to call you the best defense player, it got to be your effect on the quarterback and the game. So I got to give him that because, I mean, anytime you getting double teamed like that consistently, you feel me? Every game, every moment, triple team, double team, quadruple team. I mean, it is what it is. So I got him ranked second best defensive player of all time. Far as ranking of all time, just because the NFL is so much on that offensive shit, it's really hard to put him in the top 10 or some shit like that, because I'm like, you're going to have to knock off a lot of greats. Because, I mean, if you judging how I believe you should judge, if you judging your top 10 player of all time, I'm judging the talent, what they brought to the game, was there, and the main thing was their winner. And I'm talking about championship rings and without championship rings, because you can clearly be one of the greatest of all time, and you was always in the big games. It could be the Super Bowl, and it could be big playoff games, and you lost and all that shit. And you, long as you showed up when you was in those games, that's how I look at all dogs and shit like that. So, I mean, if you was to probably do a top 10 of all time, you're probably going to have like three defensive players and the rest are going to be offense. So I could see him being in there just because he's going to be the best D tackle of all time. So I can probably see him being like around the number 8, 9, or 10. I can see him being top 10 of all time. It's going to be some feelings crushed, you feel me? But, and I would say the only thing is hurting his case, and it's really not hurting his case, is he only did it for 10 years. You feel me? So, that's, it is what it is. To me, he the second best defensive player of all time. And yes, if you was to ask me where I have him ranked, I would have him ranked in the top top 10. Like I said, the top 10, it probably would only have three defensive guys. Lawrence Taylor for sure. I don't know who the other person was, but I know Lawrence Taylor and Aaron Donald would definitely be in the top 10.
Yeah, yeah. I was just talking about defensively. I wasn't talking about overall, but okay. That's good that you added that. Yeah, it's definitely a huge loss for the Rams, first and foremost. You know, wish him the best of retirement. He, you know, had a great career. He did something in 10 years that a lot of guys don't even do in 20. So, you know, he, like I said, everybody's not going to play 20 years. He played 10 years. That's a great, the average career is 3 years. So he did that times three. It was an exception, a three-time defensive player of the year, Super Bowl champion. I don't know how many All Pros and Pro Bowls, but yeah, over 100 sacks. Oh, man. So, yeah, definitely. Defensive tackle was definitely number one, in my opinion. Like I said, then you got Warren Sapp. You can go J.J. Watt. You can go Alan Page, all the guys like Demean Joe Green and so forth, John Randall. But yeah, definitely AD at one. All time defensive list, I'll put him at four. Because I'm going to go Lawrence Taylor at one, Reggie White at two, Ray Lewis at three, Aaron Donald at four.
I feel bad about my list because I totally fucking forgot about Ray Lewis because, yeah, my top three favorite defensive players of all time is Lawrence Taylor, Ray Lewis, and Charles Woodson. They my top three. But yeah, go ahead. My bad.
Yeah, so that's it right there. And, like, you know, the Rams are going to definitely try to replace him best they can. But definitely 99, wish you the best in retirement, man. You earned it, big fella.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to close up with a couple more topics so we can get up out of here and watch these college games. Kenny Pickett get traded to the Eagles. Give me your thoughts.
This is a good backup. And this, like I said, everybody's trying to find that Jeff Garcia. This is perfect. You feel me? You know, Kenny Pickett, you know you're getting a second chance at life. You're getting another paycheck, even if it is a backup. You hoping that you don't have to get out there in the field. And you hoping that you ain't got to get out on the field until you basically old enough. When you like 28, 30 years old and you know how to play football now, you're not going to put up great numbers, but you're going to do enough. You feel me? To get over the hump and get wins and shit like that. So, I mean, it's a good sign, a good backup. I'm going to hand it over to you.
Yeah, like this 2020 draft class, we just talked about Ritter getting traded. Now he gets traded. The only one that's still on their current team is Malik Willis. That's crazy. Like, and he was the pick last, wasn't last, but he out of the three, he was picked last. Sam Howell just got traded. So that draft class is like those quarterbacks. Only one of them still on their current team. So it was like that 2001 quarterback draft class. It's gonna go down probably one of the worst of all time. Probably worse than 2013. But, you know, the Eagles just want a good insurance policy in case, you know, Jalen gets a little hurt because how he played with the, you know, touch push and he runs and stuff like that. Because Mariota, I don't know where he's at. But, yeah, it was just a good insurance policy. And he don't got to go far. Going from Philly to Pittsburgh. So, like, basically, you know, he's just going around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was just a good insurance policy. That's all I really got to say as far as that. All right, the next topic, who's the best available free agent in the NFL right here that you got your eye on, who you think, you know, and that you still think can help some teams out? It don't matter what the position is.
Okay, Broncos, Justin Simmons. To be real, for my Giants to lose
Xavier McKinney.
Yeah, come on, man.
That was tough.
Yeah, just go ahead and get him. I mean, him and Jason Pinnock is would work perfectly together.
Jason Pinnock,
yeah. I mean, it's rumors that we try to rely on Belton and all that shit because he definitely played good. But I felt Belton only played good because of the position that he was at. He was at the position that he was at because we had Xavier McKinney and Pinnock. So I'm just saying I definitely would love to see him on a job. So I'm going him. Stephon Gilmore, he hasn't signed with nobody yet, right?
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah. Stephon Gilmore is another person out there. I think somebody could go ahead and get that guy for cheap. You feel me right now? Why he out there? Because it's teams out there that can use a corner. I mean, shit, hell. I would love to see him in New York because it's rumors that we try and get rid of Dory Jackson. You feel me? So, he another dude. Hell, I don't mean to keep saying my Giants, but I'm going to do it again. This is what the Giants would do. To me, Justin Simmons is still one of the top safeties out there.
Absolutely.
It wouldn't shock me if my Giants went and got Quadre Diggs. Straight like that. He's still out there. He don't do what he used to doing out there, but he's still a good enough player. And I feel like that's exactly what we'd do. We'd pick a guy up like him and shit like that. Xavier Howard. I'm shocked. What did he do something? Did Xavier? Yo, it. Correct me if I'm wrong on this. At least 2 years ago, it was 1 year or something where we was talking about Xavier Woods was the best. Xavier Howard was the best corner in the league. It was 2024. I want to say like maybe 2021, 2022. That was a conversation.
For sure.
Now out the blue, okay. Who else? Jamal Adams. I can see why he's about to be out. Why he's out of there is because, you feel me. But that's another. It wouldn't shock me if my Giants would sign him too. I'm going to the bottom of the totem pole. And hold on, is J.K. Dobbins here a free agent?
Yep, he visited with the Chargers last week.
I'm just naming him because he on here. But I don't. Micah Hyde. I ain't gonna lie. I'm shocked at him. I'm shocked. Tyler Boyd. There's a lot of good weapons out here. I can't wait to see who these guys. Mike Thomas. I can't wait to see who these guys go to. I forgot Michael Gallup. That's another good wide receiver. Yeah. I can't wait to see. Go. I'm gonna hand it over to you. I can't wait to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, like you said, Justin Simmons. He can help. He can go to Seattle because they got like I said, Jamal Adams and my man Diggs not there, so they need somebody to play safety. Quadri Diggs, yeah. You still got Kevin Byard. He can help a team out. Like you said, Stephon Gilmore and Xavier Howard, two all-pro corners. Like both, like Gilmore more so age and money. Xavier Howard durability. But somebody like if the Ravens were to pick one of them up for a 1 year deal, it would help a lot. It would help a lot. Cause right now, corner situation is not at best. Cause once if Marlon get hurt, you just got Brandon Stevens and anybody else got question marks. Almond Davis and all them. So. Then we also lost Clowney, so we need some edge rushers to bring back Kyle Blagnoy. We got Emmanuel Ogba there, you know, Carl Lawson, and there's plenty of edge rushers out there. Then you got offensive linemen out there like Dalton Reisner, Kyle back then, Lakin Thomas, and Andrews Pete, Cody Whitehair. You know, so it's plenty of talent out there. Michael Gallup, Tyler Boyd, DJ Chark. So it's definitely a lot of talent out there that can help a team. All right, our last and final topic, and we're going to wrap it up. Yeah, since Monday, we're going to try to have a super, super long show. We got to get up. Give me some – hold on, maybe I don't want to fuck this up. One second. If the playoffs were to start today, which is going to start in a couple – in like 2 weeks, who would be your sleeper teams to pull off upset? You can give me two from the East and two from the West.
Sleeper team to pull an upset. Wow. Well, first off, I was going to say this. My whole answer was going to be the Oklahoma City Thunder. I feel like even though they playing at the high mark and they got the best record in the league, to me, that's still, to me, considered a sleeper because, I mean, anybody could be like, well, the Clippers can turn it on and beat them. The Nuggets might be the one to turn it on. Don't let them get a chance against the Lakers. So I'm really saying that's a team that's really slept on. They got the fucking best record in the league. So that would be my
number. In the West, the best record in the West.
Y'all West, my bad, because my team got the best record in the league. So yes. I'm going to say with that overall. But far as sleeper-wise, I'm going to go with Magic and the Heat. That's about it. Yeah, I'm going to just stay on Magic and Heat because I think the Pacers, matter of fact, I take that back. If the playoffs to start right now, I would got the Pacers is beating the Cavs. I got the Magic. The Magic can pull enough for and let nah. Jalen, I don't know. Jalen Brunson is pretty led, but yeah. I'm gonna go with the Magic over them. I'm gonna go with the Cavs losing to the Pacers. And then that's it, because I ain't got Miami beating the Bucks. I'm looking at it right now. Then when I go to the West, the Mavericks, if they was to pull off that against the Clippers, that's probably, besides what I'm watching with my Celtics, I think that's probably out of all the playoffs series, that's the one I'm going to be watching the most, Dallas versus the Clippers. But I'm going with the Clippers. I don't know what Cat Williams has done, right?
You only got two. You only got two, Maurice. You only got two teams in East Conference, so it didn't take long at all. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he's done or not.
I'm going with the Mavericks, and I was going to say the Pelicans over there. Matter of fact, I'm gonna say the Timberwolves. I think Anthony Edwards might show us something, and he probably get them boys to the Western Conference Finals, and that's it.
For the East, I'm gonna go with the Magic. They're young and energetic, and I'm going with the Miami Heat because of that experience. The West, the Mavericks, like you said. And then possibly the Clippers. The Mavericks, and possibly the Pelicans against the Timberwolves because they got the bodies for Zion on them. So they're my sleeper teams.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody, great show, great show. Thank y'all for tuning in. Sorry we haven't been recording. We've been hit and miss. You know, Marvin's got a new project going on. They be talking. He talked about it last time he was on here. So we definitely gonna try to get y'all on Mondays for sure, for sure. We're gonna do some mock draft stuff next week or next show, along whatever Maurice wanna talk about. That's it for me, man. That's Jordan's my Final Four, these and women's and stuff like that, and NBA games and the men's stuff starts already. Go ahead, co-host the thing.
Oh yeah. First of all, I've been riding Kentucky forever, but I ain't gonna lie. Alabama basketball, baby. That's all I'm gonna say. You can find me on Facebook. My name is Maurice Savage Jr. Can't find me on there. You can find me on Instagram, I_AM_TheFarrow. Hey, man, it's DB life or no life, man. Roll Tide.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, UConn, y'all know what it is. UC. We got the women's going to handle it better tonight. And we got the men's going to handle it better on Saturday. We're going to get it. This is going to be the first time in a minute that we won this championship in both sides in a minute. Like I said, Gino said it, man. He said, man, I'm still the person that beat in women's basketball. So, he said they can sleep on me all they want. He got all the gold. He ain't lying. And like I said, we're going to handle business against Alabama and then bring on Purdue, whoever, because like I said, we're on a mission. We're beating folk by 30. Everybody have an amazing Monday night. Check out Talking Ravens all day, every day Thursday. We're going to do our Ravens mock drafts and stuff like that. As we count down towards the draft, we're basically 3 weeks away. Have an amazing night. I know what I'm about to say. Be great on the way to the figure eight and always. Always remember, #KTSC. From your host, Justin P. And from my million-dollar co-host, the Vigilante. My co-host, your co-host, Mr. Marvin Savage Jr. We'll see y'all next Monday around 7:15, 7:30-ish. Like I said, Maurice going to have some good topics for us. And in the mock draft, he'll probably send them to me once we finish. Yeah. We love y'all guys, and we are out.